Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Past players. Past legends.
Past legends.
Tonight we welcome Nord's electrifying small forward David Payne, 194 games, 311 goals, leading goal kicker in 91, of course a member of the history-making premiership side in 84, also coached at several clubs, several things in common, and then along the journey. Welcome aboard, Payne.
Yep, thanks a lot, Fyfe. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks for joining us, mate. One of my favourite players growing up, obviously at the Nord Footy Club, but like we do with most of our guests, we like to find out where it all started. Where did you start your junior football?
Junior footy guys started at the Walkerville Football Club down there on, I think, I'm not sure of the street, but Smith Road, Walkerville, and played there, I think, up until probably, up into the under-15s. So that was my junior club. Yeah, it was a fantastic club to play for.
And then on to high school footy?
Yeah, high school. We didn't have a junior side, but we had a senior side. So I think it was about 15, maybe 16, made my way into that side, which had some pretty good players. Lester Ross, Stephen Sims, Craig Ebert. I think Andrew Jarman was there at some stage as well. So, yeah, we had a pretty reasonable side those days.
Now, Payne, how were we lucky enough to get you out to Nord? Because, of course, your brother played at North Adelaide, and I reckon you would have been in the North Zone. So what happened in that way, mate?
Yeah, I lived in the North Adelaide area, so I did a few sort of junior clinics at North Adelaide and got invited out there a couple of times. I actually played mini league for North Adelaide with the Hillcrest Primary School. So, had an affiliation there. The brother played there and so on and so forth. But I actually didn't get a letter from North Adelaide to invite me out for the under-17s, and I rang up KG and I harped onto him on the radio and just said, look, my name's David and my brother played and da-da-da, I'm in the North Adelaide area and I want to go and play for Nord and, da-da-da-da. And then I think about a week later I had a couple of blokes knocking on the front door.
Wow. Payne, out of all those years, I never knew that.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of the coach and the team manager pop around, knock on my front door, interview me, sat down with mum and dad. And, so I didn't ever had any transport. Dad was working. Mum never drove. So the manager used to pick me up, take me to footy training. And that was my first introduction to under-17s with meeting Macca. And, that was quite interesting.
Well, wow. That's a great story. Not every day that you get a coach and a team manager roll up on your doorstep. Normally, I remember getting my letter and nothing like that. That's fantastic.
I'm going to thank KG out of this, Payne.
I've actually got that interview. They actually sent it to me.
Okay.
On a tape.
Yep.
So it's actually on a tape. So they actually sent it to me and I've got that here and I listened to it. It was actually quite funny to listen to. But yeah. I didn't know I was going to make the side, and then we had the annual dinner where they picked the side.
Yes.
Now I did, yep. and they announced the first side, which was to play Sturt, and I got given the jumper number 4 and got my game. So I thought, how can they must have paid a clearance fee? There was apparently a fee involved that they had to clear or pay North Adelaide, and that was the reason I got through the gates.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then had a pretty good under-17s year?
We had a great year that year. We won the premiership.
Yep,
in 81. Then we won the premiership in 82. And then I played under-19s in 83 and won the premiership. So, yeah, that's 3 good years. And then, obviously, I got promoted into the A-grade side halfway through 84. I was playing 19.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you went 19s reserves league, didn't you? You look
in the same year.
I reckon you ended up with 70, about 75-plus goals for the year too, Payne.
I think I had a good year that year.
Yeah.
I had a good year. I know I bagged a couple in the 19s. I had a 9-goal game once against West Torrens. And I think it's, you know, you just go through certain stages in your life where everything's just rolling along okay. And, you know, I just must have hit a purple patch. And then I went into, got promoted to the reserves team. And I'd never forget Neil Button coming up to me and saying, "Right, little fella, just stick near me. Wherever I tell you to go, you go." And Butto was absolutely amazing. He just palmed the ball straight down to you. And he was at the end of his career, Butto, but he just said, "You be there, you Payne, go there, Payne, go here." And he just tapped the ball to you, and it was amazing. So he helped me a lot, get a berth in the league team,
And then, so in 84, was your league debut, Payne?
It was against Glenelg at the Bay.
I was working out the order of games in my head, and I'm thinking, yeah, no, it must have been at the Bay. Yep.
Probably one of the most nervous, you know, really nervous. Like, it's just, it's something, it's very uncontrollable. Like, I was only 19. There I am playing senior footy, and, you know, there I was watching all these guys in the prior years I was playing against. You know, it's quite quite daunting in a way.
And then you had, you kicked 5 against North at Prospect.
Yeah, that had a good day that day. It was a good day, that one,
And then probably the big one, really, where you were huge contribution was we were gone. We were 17 points down late in the last quarter of the first semi against Centrals. Mm-hmm. And you kicked a couple and you kicked 5 for that day, which would have been just huge in a final. And it was a pretty big buzz after that game and back at the parade. We got out of jail and I reckon we thought, hey, we're really in this sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a guy at work asked me the other day. He asked me, he said, "What do you reckon is one of the better games you played over the years?" And that game came to mind straight away, simply because we were struggling. We didn't look like we were going to win. We rallied. I managed to kick, I think, 3 in the last quarter.
Oh, yeah, the handball over the top from Macca in the last quarter. That put us in front, yep.
And that put us in front. And I, you know, when we carried on and won, and it was just, an amazing feeling. But it was just one of those games where, once again, you know, the timing was right. There was that 15 or 18, 20 minutes of where everything went okay, and it worked out that we got away with the win. But, yeah, that's, you know, obviously over the years you played a few good games and, you know, you don't remember them all, but it's probably not about me as such. It was the team, you know. We played so the team could succeed. That's what we were there for.
Well, that year that you talk about, I've just pulled up the stats here. You started off the year in under-19s kicking 24 goals in 3 games. Then kicked another 24 goals in 5 games in the reserves and then finished off the year in the league for 30 goals for a casual 78 goals for the season. That's an amazing statistic that not only were you able to, you know, balance your goal-kicking craft in your under-19s, you're able to transfer it up to the reserves and then up to the league. That's just a great stat.
Yeah, look, I must admit, and the blokes that know me and sort of play with me know I don't mind kicking a goal. And
well, that's why I brought it up.
You know,
You're a handball machine compared to Kevin Bartlett, Payne. Come on.
Yeah. But I remember something my dad said to me once. He said, "Listen, if you're in range, son, have a go." And that always stuck with me because I began to trust my own ability to achieve that. So if I ever got within range and I thought I was half a chance, I'd have a go. And, you know, I think that's maybe what some of today's footy's missing. I'm not too sure. But I think, you know, everyone plays under instructions nowadays.
Yeah, I think
where we played, you know, a lot of players that played in our era played with a bit of flair and a bit of excitingness. Like, you know, as you say, you talk about the Kevin Bartletts and the Billy Conlons and, you know, the Tony Antropuses and, you know what I'm saying? These guys had some flair.
Yeah.
And they executed and they made it exciting. And where I reckon in today's footy, that it's probably a little bit hampered in a way.
Robotic.
It's a lot more controlled.
Yeah.
So we had a go. Like, you know, I might have got in trouble a couple of times having a shot from the boundary, but, you know, if it went through, it was all cool, wasn't it? If he missed, everyone's going, oh, you know. But, you know, I think you just got to back yourself in. That's where...
I reckon the player who got crucified a lot more than he should have been over that was Greg Thomas. I think he was... he seemed to cop it more than anyone else if he didn't give it first time. It was a little bit bizarre in that way.
Yeah, I think I've had a bit of a handle that, you know, no handball pain, you know. Yeah. I got that hand, you know, that handle for quite a number of years. But, you know, so be it. If I didn't handball and I kicked the goal, what's the problem?
Yeah. And I think after the first semi, there was no doubt whatsoever that you were targeted physically, probably especially by Glenelg, ironically, in the prelim, but also by Port in the grand final.
Yeah, there was a definite headhunting for me in the preliminary final that I got smacked. I got knocked out in the first 10, 15 minutes. I didn't know where I was, Arthur or Martha. So, and that was behind the play, severely concussed. Yep.
I couldn't see.
All my eyes were blurry.
And yeah.
I couldn't lift my head off the ground and. I came off for a bit, the blurriness went and went back on. So
yeah.
That's the way it was, I think.
Exactly, how the old smelling salts and back into it. And...
I had a bit of that blue smelling salt. Someone had some of that in their pocket. Yeah. That helped. But, in today's standard, that'd be gone for 4 or 5 weeks. But,
yeah.
You know, I was absolutely fine during the week and there was no way after the win against Glenelg that I was going to miss a grand final.
And your memories of the 84 grand final, we've dissected it many, many times, but we'd like to hear what the players thought. Obviously, history makers.
Bloody tough game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, game. Like, it's just, you know, it's brutal, really, you think about it. You think you got a yard and you haven't because the blokes roll on your hammer. You grab the ball and you got tackled. I mean, it's like... Normally you might have a bit of a free yard here or there, but there was no yards given in that game. But it was just one of those games that you probably look at and go, well, gee, we were lucky to get out of that. If that's the way I'm looking at it. Because I only watched the video only about 6 to 12 months ago.
I reckon I might have watched it since then, Painter. Yep, go on.
But I watched it, and I watched it by myself, watched the whole game, and I thought, and I analysed it myself, and it was the first time I've actually really sat down and watched it, and, you know, that's 40 years nearly after watching it. But, we were in a bit of trouble.
Oh, look, let's be honest. Yeah, it was only the third quarter. I think Port's stupidity really helped us early. Like, Evans got sucked in. Dwayne Russell gave that free kick where he ran through – when Evans Leicester. Ran through Leicester and when Evans had marked in the goal square. You know, Evans kicked into Craig on the man on the mark where Craig just got inside his head. So there were several things in that game where they were crucial. They were goal-turning moments.
I think you're right. I think maybe if Tim Evans had a kick straight, I'm not sure how many points he kicked in that game.
Kicked a few.
I know he had quite a few shots at goal and he missed.
Yeah.
Which was highly unlikely for him to miss.
Yeah.
There was a couple of hard shots, but there was a couple of goals that we thought, oh, geez, he's going to nail this, and he missed. Now, whether that's due to the pressure, I mean, you know.
The man on the mark as well, and I reckon that's probably even a more crucial one, where that's showing that you're not thinking clearly. So, and then it was an incredible game also for individual. You know, Keith Thomas's mark. You know, we're always going to remember that. Aishi's run in the last quarter. And, of course, from the David Payne article on the Footy Almanac site, and what Red League can forget, the beautiful sight of Glenvar Daniger picking up on the half volley, giving off to Payne, who goes long. Rocky Roberts rises up over the late Anthony Williams, spills to Mark, but recovers to kick his sixth, and the camera goes to the fist-pumping Neil Baum.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite – because I was actually trying to kick the goal.
If you look
closely at it, I'm trying to do a torp.
Yeah, I was going to say it was an attempted torp. Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't a drop punt. It was a torp because I knew it was late and I thought, well, I better have a big dip at this and see if I can, you know, save us something out of this. But and it worked actually better than it was a torp because actually it covered
that little bit further. Yep.
It just went that little bit further and it was, it worked out all right in the end. But, you know, just a tough game. Like two really good sides, two very competitive sides, and we just happened to sneak over in the long run. But, you know, during that game, it could have gone either way at certain stages. But, once again, there was things that happened in that game. You know, Justin Scanlon's mark there, I think he took two twice. Rippers in the last quarter.
Yep.
Now, they're saving goals. Like, if they'd been... If that ball had hit the turf and, you know, Bradley or Clifford had got hold of it, it could have been a different story. But he took those two really good marks. You know, Bruce Winder, I mean, the undeniably soft-spoken man. That go and watch how many times he did mark the ball going into defence.
Great hands, Bruce, always.
And you know, he just saved us on many a time. So, you know, there was just a... For me, it was all a bit blurry, but, you know, you sort of until you watch it again and see that there's vital stages of the things that happened in that game, you know. You know, certain tackles in the game that were laid that stopped, you know, Port getting her free flow. And yeah, there's just so many things happened. It's a hard one, Payne,
in terms of I go, look, the 73, and I've watched it as an adult. You know, I was only 10. But that's all. I've always thought that was the game, and you know there was Corns' mark, but the same thing, pretty incredible. Bob Hammond's best on ground in a losing grand final, playing full back. So there were things in that game as well as 84. And for mine, it's hard because 84 obviously means so much as a Nord man and all that. But they're the two for me. 73, and 84.
I think you'll find that the other thing is it's a not only it's just a tremendous honour. To actually even be part of one, you know, just, you know, to even play in one is probably a hell of an achievement, let alone fortunately winning one. So, you know, I feel myself quite blessed that I'd be able to be part of that team and be able to be in a successful team and win a premiership. But, you know, there's a lot of blokes that play a lot of footy that don't get to play in a final or grand final.
I reckon there's one thing out of that night, though, Payne. I can confidently state that I don't think you're any danger at getting picked up in by a big choir or anything with singing Barmy club. I reckon you were safe there, Payne. Yes.
I think the Jim Beam was kicking in and I think, the voices were all a bit bit hoarse by that stage.
Yes.
Now, talking about Barmy, not Neil Baum, but Craig Baum, what were your thoughts when him and Evans are going toe-to-toe in the square at the national anthem?
Oh,
look, you're a fair way away, though.
Honestly, I didn't know what was going on, really. I didn't, you know, this was all secrets behind closed doors stuff. I mean, obviously there was some plan to rattle his boots.
Yep, by the late Ian Stasenowski, mate.
Yeah, but I didn't know anything about it, and I'd say half the team didn't know. I just said, "Oh no, here we go." And then not only that, it was straight after the ball was bounced. We got the kick down in the forward lines that went out of bounds on the floor.
Yeah, you effectively had the first kick of the game, really.
Yes, I did have the first kick of the game. Yes, and it was on again. Like, and then I'm thinking, oh no, here we go. Like, you know, I'm not built for this because for all this tough stuff. And I didn't want it to be, you know, obviously if you had, you know, obviously you're all committed, but you know, I just didn't want any nasty stuff happening, you know, because that's not what you want. But I think we got a free – didn't we get a free kick out of that?
Yeah, free kick and Ashley kicked the goal.
Ashley kicked the goal. So that put us on the board. So, you know, that helped us a bit. But, you know, after that, I think after those couple of instances and then the run-through with Russell, I don't think there was much else after that.
No, it wasn't too bad after that.
It quieted down a bit. It definitely wasn't like an 87 or –
Not 91, the bloodbath.
Or 91, you know what I mean? So it's definitely not like that. But it was, it was a pretty physical game and, you know, I think we're all pretty tired at the end of it, yeah.
And so, Pania, after the 84, let's a couple of times there, we got the prelims, whatever. And I think while we always thought we underachieved at Nord and that, I've probably mellowed a little bit on that, where I go through and go, hang on, let's go back to 84. Let's remember that we were, as we've said, the Central's the first semi and all that side of things. So, and I think we've just got to give a bit more credit to the rest of the competition at how strong Glenelg and North and Port there were. You know, though it was a really strong era in South Australian footy.
It was as strong as possible. Like it was as good as it gets, really.
Yeah.
Probably started to fade a little bit in the early 90s. Yeah. It started maybe, but all through the 80s, I mean, Glenelg, North, Port, they were just tough sides. I mean, Glenelg were 85, 86. You had North Adelaide, which were a huge talent.
Yeah.
And you had Port, which were always around the mark. No. So, I mean, you had those top teams. And then you had Centrals were always bloody hard to beat, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Westies were hard. None of these teams were easy beats by any means. And, you know, they were out to get you. So, yeah, it was quite physical, too. That's the other thing. It was, it wasn't a soft sport by any means. It was pretty physical and pretty competitive. And there's always a bloke or two that's ready to, you know, try and hurt you a little bit.
What were the crowds like? Because, obviously, doing this podcast, we sort of get a rough idea as to what the crowds were like back in the late 80s. As a player, did you really enjoy playing in front of a big crowd?
I love playing. Yeah, I love playing in front of great. You know, it was great playing in front of lots of people. But you know, I got great enjoyment out of playing at Nord Oval.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, your home ground, your home deck with, you know, 7 or 8, 9, 10
people just on top 11,000
people.
Yeah,
you know. You got 11, you know, and you run out, and it's just people everywhere, and you know you snag a couple of goals, or the team kicks a goal, and it's just fantastic.
Oh, and I think AFL show that with Gather Round at Nord and that it is the best suburban ground. If people just are a bit rational and a bit honest about it, and it was turning up for Gather Round last year on the Friday afternoon. And I actually, as I got there, ironically, Fanta was walking along Wood Street as well. I just said, Jesus, reminds me of walking into Nord Port in 82. And, yeah, brought back – it wasn't such the footy. It was just brought back memories of a packed Nord Oval.
Yeah, yeah. I think the home – playing, you know, even at Thebe in those days, you know, playing at Thebe and playing at Woodville and playing at Richmond. And, you know, they still drew good crowds. And it was great. I mean, even Footy Park, I mean – I played quite a few Anzac days on Footy Park Oval and standing there and listening to the bugle go and just, you know, the shivers are going down your spine. And then as soon as the bugle finishes, like with the crowd roar and, you know, there's 35,000 people there on an Anzac day, you know, just an amazing feeling. So, yeah, look, you know, we love playing in front of crowds. I mean, that's what you got. Yeah. And they went to see it. They went to see. The people went to see a good game of footy, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think we'll move on to that side of it a little bit later as well in terms of two. So, Paney, you started off in 52 and then, of course...
Yeah, number 52, yep.
Of course, went to 17. You know, go through that a bit, mate.
Yeah. I thought that'd be a bit... That number was a bit high for me.
Bit too much weight.
Bit too high, and I think quite a few blokes had 52. I think Staritsky had 52, and Klaby had 52. Yep. So I think you find most blokes ditched that number. It was a bit high, but I remember Smokey coming up to me in the start of '85 and said, "Look, David, there's a couple of jumpers available. Which one would you like? And that 17 was there. So, because I think they rested it in 83 because.
Yeah, after.
Oh, sorry, rested in 84.
Yeah, after two.
They rested his Guernsey, so no one was 17 that year. Yeah. And then they bring it out. So that's normally what they did in those days for pretty legendary players. They rested their Guernsey and then gave it to someone. So I took 17 after Tubby because you're about the same size. So.
Also, your brother's number as well, mate.
Yeah, he wore 17 as well. So I think a couple of the brothers both wore 17 at some stage. So yeah, no, it was just a lucky number. I just like the number.
Join the club. It's my favourite number too, and it's partly because of you.
Okay, that's good. Paney. I didn't realise that either.
There you go.
So go through some other highlights, Paney, of just playing wise.
Look, there was all sorts of highlights. Obviously, from a personal note, playing well is something that you like to do, isn't it? I suppose.
Yep, absolutely.
So playing well and you know, getting in the best players. I mean, you don't want to say that, but you know, to be honest, it's nice to play well. But then, if you play well, and the team plays well, then you win. So then, there's a result on the end of that. So, obviously, playing well in a winning team is a good achievement. You know, playing well in a losing team is still. I think, you know, a lot of times I play well and we got done. So, you know, playing well consistently, I think, was something that you try to achieve. Highlights was, you know, playing for the footy club's obviously an honour, right? So, you know, that goes without saying. And being able to maintain my status, I suppose, for the 10-year period and play league footy on a, and being needed or wanted as a player was an important. That made me feel good because, you know, the team liked me being in it, if that made sense.
Yep.
You know, I was a benefit to the team. So, and, you know, I appreciated that, obviously. Yeah, playing finals footy was tremendous. I mean, we would have liked to have had a little bit more luck later down the track.
Yep.
But, you know, that didn't eventuate. But, you know, we had a dip. You know, we don't cross over that white line without having a dip. So we weren't good enough on most of those.
Oh, there was a couple of prelim finals which could have gone either way. One against North where we lost by 5 points. The ball was deep in our forward line when the siren went. So, you know, as Griff would say, it's a fine line between pleasure and pain. So
Yeah. No, I totally agree. We had our chances in those games. You know, there was one final series we were out. I mean, we never had Macca. We never had Craig Kelly.
Yes.
We never had Michael Taylor. I mean, you know, you take those three guys out of your team, you put them in the team and you're half a chance. I mean, you're two of the best centermen in the league going around and you haven't got them in your team. So, it is what it is, unfortunately. And we had a dip, and there's no doubt we had a dip, but we just weren't good enough on a few occasions.